This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to Books Uncovered, an exciting conversation about books and literary events, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bella.
Over the next half hour, we'll dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library. Kia ora, and welcome to another show of Books Uncovered. We're doing the show a little bit different today because Bella's away, and I'm very excited to have a fellow classmate from the Masters of Creative Writing at Otago Uni here, Penny Bloomberg. How are you?
Kura. Holly, I'm very pleased to be here.
Yeah, so Penny's, I didn't know this, but you're actually from Nelson and you're down here for the year to do this course.
Yep.
Yeah, awesome. So yeah, we're both doing, it's the first year that the Otago Uni's put on this Masters course. Run by Lindley Edemans and Liam, I can't ever say his last name.
McElvaney?
Yes, that's right. And so there's about eight of us on the course, and everyone's working on different projects. And so, yeah, I thought it would be a good chance to talk to Penny about what you're reading and, yeah, about your project. But, yeah, I'll start off with a few questions, very casual questions. So, yeah, how did you get into reading, or, like, what was the book that you read when you were young that was, you know, sort of stood out?
Well, that's a great question. So I actually had to go back through, I'm a mature student, so I had to go back through the decades to sort of sift through my memory and think about what my early memories of reading were. My mum used to take my younger sister and I to the library. And we were voracious readers from early on in our young lives. And my memory of the first, well, my most memorable series of books was actually Willard Price. So that's probably dates me, but Willard Price wrote a series of fantastic adventure stories and cannibal adventure and South Seas adventure and stories like that. And that really kick-started my reading because it really captured my imagination, and I wanted to be like a Jacques Cousteau type character. And so this adventure series where they travelled the world and saw all these different animals and cultures, etc., really captured both myself and also my sister's attention and imagination. So yeah, that was the start of it.
Oh, awesome. What was that, the the Nelson Public Library?
No, so I'm actually a Timaru girl, South Canterbury, yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah. And I can, and even when you asked me that, I was like, oh my goodness, I can remember mum and we had this silly little old van and we used to sit on the, back in the day when you didn't have seat belts, you know, we used to sit on the wheel hubs in the back of this van. We used to line up at the library, and I even had like really clear pictures of walking into that library, and that's like a room of memories I haven't been in for a long, long time.
Yeah,
so,
wow.
Yeah,
is
great
that,
question.
Is that library still the same in Timaru?
No, it isn't. So the Timaru Library has shifted, and it's quite a big library now. But from memory, I remember that we parked, and it was on kind of a hill, and I feel like it was more south in the Timaru city, central city, than it is these days. It's a much lovelier, sort of bigger library
more
now, much bigger place.
I guess because they've become sort of like more community focused as well, libraries, haven't they? They're not just about the books.
Yeah, too true.
But yeah, no, I remember a similar thing of cars not having seatbelts. As well, my mum driving an old Renault and just having a hole in the floor that we used to put things down that would, go onto the road. things have changed a little bit since then. But, it just shows you how important libraries are, right? For those early years. I mean, because I used to go to the public library here in Dunedin because I grew up here, and I love that they've still got that, the reading pit for the kids, because, I've got very strong memories of sitting in that pit. Reading picture books. But so as you got older, like into teen years or young adult, was there, what sort of, were you reading then? I know for me personally, I kind of had a period of not reading, I think kind of a rebellious anti-book period, which is ridiculous. I think it's because my parents sold books, so yeah. But how about you? Is there kind of like any authors from that? Or who would you say would be like your favourite, most, like the author that you turn to?
Well, certainly when I was younger, so in my late teens and early 20s, I was still doing a lot of reading. And at that time I was living, I went to university, but then I tended to live out in the country more, like, well, actually I lived in Twizel.
Oh, yeah.
So my husband was, I got married quite young, and my husband was a fishery scientist. And so I went from Canterbury University, and I was living in Twizel in this Ministry of Works town, and I really felt like this odd, I just felt like this oddity there. I felt old, but I was really young. I was like 21.
Yeah.
You know? But, and so I read, and I read a lot of the likes of, still going off for that adventure, sort of, you know, somewhere else, doing something else sort of thing. Wilbur Smith would be a classic sort of a thing like that, or Dan Brown's, or, all of that. Still sort of very much that genre, not a lot of nonfiction. When I read nonfiction, because I was also doing, I was also painting at the time as an artist.
Yeah.
So that was I'll tell you a funny story. This is a story for a radio because it's kind of funny. So back in the day when I was just a kid, like in the sixth form, so I guess that's year 12, I wanted to be an artist. And I had this wonderful auntie who lived in Dunedin. So this is coming back the full circle. So this wonderful auntie who lived in Dunedin, she really supported my art. And I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to come down and do the fine arts course. But I was sick of school. So I wanted to go from the sixth form, which was a bit of a tricky thing to do. So she said that she'd take me along to the fine arts school here. And I brought my portfolio down and we had this wonderful interview. And I would have been just 17 at the time. And the fellow looked at my paintings and said, yes, Penny, you could have a place in this art school. But he pushed a piece of paper across the desk and he said to me, but these are the people that passed our art degree last year and three quarters of them are working at the freezing works.
Oh, my God.
And I looked at him and I thought, well, I can't be an artist then because I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, my God.
And so this is how literal I was. I can't be an artist. So, yeah, so hilariously, I ended up going and doing sciences at Canterbury University.
Yeah, okay.
But in the third year of my zoology course, which I was doing my very best to fail, I got offered a job illustrating a zoological book.
Oh, awesome.
So it was like a crossover of the science and the art. And then, as I said, I sort of started to try and remake myself as an artist in this new young person married life in Twizel of all places. So
I
paint late into the night. And so I did read a lot about Van Gogh and, you know, all the Impressionists and you know, that sort of stuff. But, I was still very much in the adventure, crime, mystery genre.
Yeah, but then teaching yourself how to draw and paint.
Yeah,
and
painting.
And you're still a practicing artist.
Yes.
So what medium are you working in?
At the moment, and I haven't been doing a lot in the last few years because I've been committing more to writing.
Yeah.
But I started off and I did a lot of dry pastel work and big landscapes and things. And I had a few of my own exhibitions and etc. But more recently, because of the problem of pastels and selling internationally and because they're dry and I don't like fixing them, etc., I've ended up going to more etching aluminium and then colouring in ink and leaving that as the piece of art rather than making prints.
Okay.
So, something a bit different with gold leaf and stuff.
Beautiful. Hmm. Also, you'll be looking forward to, we just got told on our course, we're going to have the opportunity to use the press at in the special collections.
Yeah, I'm going to be at the front of the line, at the Hocken.
Elbows.
Yeah, and it'll be like, everyone stand back. This is mine. I have so many ideas. It was like, wow, I need to settle down when they started talking about that.
Yeah, it's going to be really neat. I've never seen it. I know it's kind of been in a state of, like, it's been a bit asleep there. But, yeah, it's cool that they're looking at doing more stuff there. I want to see your artwork. So you're writing a novel, and it's a really wonderful novel. And am I allowed to say the title?
Mm.
So it's called Soft, and it's I'll let you talk about it. I've been really enjoying engaging with it in a class. So we sort of work in like a workshop situation, and classmates bring work to share, and then we sit around for a couple of hours and critique it, which is, yeah, really wonderful and a really great way to, see where the gaps are in your work. And how long have you been working on this project for?
Writing-wise, I've been writing now I've written academically and for business for a long time. And I'm a COVID baby, COVID writing baby.
Ah.
So I was in COVID with my lovely dad, and I hatched this plan that I would sign up for a creative writing. It was a novel novella course out of Nelson Marlborough Institute of Technology. And I was stuck down in Timaru with my dad. And I hatched this plan that I would sign up for it. And I gave myself permission that if it was boring, because I was working quite hard anyway, if it was boring, I could just let it go and I just would just sign away the tuition money.
Yeah.
And I started this course, and I've done heaps of courses and I've got several degrees, but I started this course and I thought, what have I been doing with my life? I should have been doing this all my life. And it was such a, I want to talk about this because for people who are more mature, older, and you think time's ticking on or it's too late or I'm too old or I'm too this or too that, like for me it was a revelation, like it blew my mind. And so I'm sitting there with my dad and I can't believe I didn't know, given that I've been creative in lots of other areas, that I didn't know I had this passion for writing. I thought I was an all right writer, but that writing bored me. And I thought, I had no idea creative writing was going to be so exhilarating.
That's,
so I've been kind of like on a high for 5 years.
That's so awesome.
And the poor people have to live with me. I'm quite mad. Anyway, so that's where it started from. And so the book that I'm writing at the moment is I investigated it in a short story.
Okay.
Yeah, and I quite like that as an approach. So it's kind of that thing for me of writing a short story where you think you can live with your protagonist, Can I live for 2 years with this person? And for me, I don't know that I could write a real anti-hero. I think I always do want to write a story where I really like my protagonist, even though they might be flawed, but I really want to root for them and I want them to reign supreme at the end somehow, somewhere in their little lives. So by sort of feeling out my characters in a short story, I had several that I had as ideas to come along to. And when we obviously applied for our place on the program, the master's program, I had to come up with a proposal and working with some of my teachers in other writing, they had suggested this would be a good one. And I felt that the characters got I was going to make a joke and say got legs, but
I love that you call them the guys.
Yeah,
like they're real people.
What they are.
Yeah,
they are. And now I'm living like these two lives.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and wherever I'm walking around today down the street, it's like they're always with me.
That's
and
so wonderful.
It's tough when you're sitting eating a meal and you're actually still upstairs, really wanting to be in the room with my protagonist who might be in dire straits,
which
he is at the moment. So he's having a terrible time.
Yes, because you're writing on the
earthquake
in Christchurch. That's so wonderful. And yeah, it is interesting to think about as a writer living with these characters. And I'm thinking of Joyce Carol Oates here in her recent book, it's like 48 clues into her disappearance, and the protagonist in that is horrible. And I'm like, she must have had to live with this character in her head for, you know, however long it took for her to write this book. But yeah, that's a really interesting thing that I hadn't thought about for prose. That yeah, these characters are really you're living with them. Yeah, interesting. And so before, yeah, I also wanted to comment on what you're saying about coming into things as a mature student, because I also had that experience. I went back to university as a 32-year-old to do creative writing in the UK. But, you know, I remember being in Dunedin because I had left when I was 17 and I was here again when I was 22 and I was thinking about going to university and I thought I was so old, which is just so ridiculous, you know. And recently I was talking to my mum about, she was telling me about that author Mary Wesley and how she didn't start writing until I think it was like in her 60s or 70s and she's got a huge volumes of books. So yeah, I really love that. Not going with the usual societal rules of you do things by a certain time. So were you writing a sort of more novella form? So this will be the first full novel sized project?
No. So because I was starting out, I started off with a hiss and a roar in my first course, and I have actually another novel fully drafted. But it was kind of like I got wildly enthusiastic making this cake, and it was going to be several layers, you know, and it was going to have this and the rest, and it just didn't cook very well. And I had great fun mixing it, but when it came to the actual eating, like, you know, the consumption part of it, I didn't know how to make it better, and so I took more courses. I took courses in script writing and short story writing, etc. And I learned and I learned and I learned. But ultimately, and I found this in my art too, and I guess with the benefit of hindsight, I realised that in my life I've often, because I've worked full-time as well and I had lots of kids, I had a really busy life, that I tended to do things in my creative life as an isolate. So I was always by myself. And it wasn't a matter of lacking motivation or energy. It was, but what you're limited to how much you can learn and how fast you can learn when you're just doing it all by yourself.
Okay.
And I think that's where it's been so great to come down here, and it's been such a privilege to come down here and be able to immerse myself in the master's course, because the course allows me to learn from other people. It's not just all you learn. My learning's accelerated, and so this is going to sound quite a bit cynical, but like coming from a working full time business background, I know how much things cost.
Yeah.
And because I know how much my consulting fees in the past have been charged out for, but just coming back to it, that when I look at it and I think, if I can get a place on that master's and I can have feedback coming from my class on a regular basis for a year, then the fee is a steal.
Yeah.
If I want to be serious about writing a book that somebody might half want to read, you know. And so that for me was my perspective. So it wasn't I don't need another degree or anything, but I do. I really need a framework to help me be a better writer. And, yeah, and it's delivered. So it's everything I could have hoped for.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mm. And it's only, we've only been in it, well, like 3 months, I think, so far.
Yeah, not even that, 2.5.
Yeah, gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it shows you how intensive it is. And next week we have Kirsty Gunn coming to take our class as well, which will be really good. Mm. Yeah, I think I found the same when I was doing my BA, because it was a creative writing BA, that each year was just such a huge leap in my writing from when I first started, that I knew that the way forward as a writer was to undertake something like a master's that's like fully immersive. And it's so awesome that Otago Uni got it up and running. Well, Lindley got this going. I think it was a bit tentative there if it was going to happen. But yeah, I think it's such an important thing for Dunedin to have as a UNESCO city of literature. And I mean, there's so many amazing writers in the city. And yeah, with the Robert Burns Fellowship, which hopefully doesn't go anywhere. but yeah. So, yeah. What else can I ask you while I've got you here in the studio? what are you reading at the moment?
Ooh, okay. So, I combine audiobooks with paper books. For me, finding, I use Libby and BorrowBox, both of those. So obviously they're free audiobooks. I would probably read 3 or 4 books a week on there because I walk a lot.
Okay.
And so for me, because I'm like work and, you know, like super busy, the idea that I can walk for 2 hours and actually get 4 hours of recreation, because I get 2 hours of reading and 2 hours of walking, is just like, you know, wonderful. It's wonderful. It's like, oh, I'm cheating the universe.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I can double up on things. I mean, I double up on lots of other things too, but that doesn't generally work out that well when I let the water, you know, like I'm always multitasking. But multitasking exercise and audiobooks is fabulous. So at the moment, my audiobook that I'm listening to, I've got a couple in the wings, but I'm listening to Cormac McCarthy's The Road.
Ah, yes.
So, yeah. And it's pretty hardcore, incredible writing.
There's a film. Have you seen the film?
No.
Don't watch the film before.
No. But for him, I mean, I'm fascinated by his writing. I think he's a bit arrogant, but I'm fascinated by his writing because he doesn't write any interiority in his characters. So it's kind of like a book that's screenwriting, if you know what I mean. Like it's all about dialogue and scene.
Yeah.
So I'm quite fascinated by how he writes. He's very muscular in his writing. Grim stories, very, very grim stories. I'm reading Graham Greene's The Quiet American. So Liam McElvaney, who's my supervisor, recommended that I read him so that I could know how to write violence.
Oh, wow. It makes sense. Yeah.
And then my final one is Percival Everett. So I'm reading his The Trees. So he's Booker nominated guy.
Yeah.
And his humour. So they're very, very different.
His humour is amazing.
Yeah. Very, very, very different stories. But and I'm reading them all at the same time. Mm. So
that sounds like a wonderful selection. I love that you've got 3 on the go as well. I really need to get into audiobooks. It's something that's, yeah, I just. haven't engaged with, but I also love walking. And, yeah, that's a really wonderful idea to do the multitasking.
So I have to ask you, Holly, do you like housework?
I do like cleaning. It's like kind of therapeutic.
See,
yeah.
See, I hate housework.
Yeah.
But I would do it listening to an audio book. Okay. So it's a deal with me.
Yeah,
so,
I see.
You know, it's kind of one of those things. It's like a healthy inducement. It's not like chocolate. It's like something better.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so you can be doing it at the same time.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
Into
it.
I'll just talk quickly about we've got an event at the Athenaeum Library on, I think it's a Thursday, it's the 28th of May at 5:30. We've got Dr. Richard Christie coming. It's called A Brief History of Time from a Paediatrician's Perspective. He's born and raised in Dunedin, and he studied at the med school in Otago here, but he practices in Perth. Sorry, I'm just reading my notes. So, yeah, No Time for Makeup. Richard also celebrated. Oh, that's his book. So he's got a book launch. Sorry. He's got a book that he'll be talking about at this as well, called No Time for Makeup. He celebrates Dr. Elizabeth Green's newly published memoir, No Time for Makeup, which reflects on the joys and challenges of being a flying doctor pediatrician in Western Australia. And there'll be copies of the book for sale at the talk, and everyone's welcome. It should go for about an hour. That's on the 28th of May. Penny, it's been so amazing having you in the studio and having a chat with you. And yeah, I really look forward to seeing how your book unfolds and seeing some of your artwork.
Oh, thanks, Holly. And I'm same back to you with your poetry.
Cheers.
So all the best.
Thank you. Ka kite.
Books Uncovered. Exciting conversations about books and literary events. Brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
Join us, Holly and Bella, every second Saturday at 12 p.m. as we dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library.
That's Books Uncovered.
Saturdays at 12 on ORFM and online at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.